Welcome to the weekend. Welcome to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Lee, and I'm the teaching pastor at our Plain City campus, and just continuing our series through Job, The Good Life. This past week, we kind of began this little like hinge moment, if you would, in the story of Job. If you've been listening this week and kind of have seen, you know, leading up to this point, has been a lot of like, you know, Job's circumstances and then Job and his friends kind of back and forth, really arguing around this idea of justice and who's right, who's wrong, who sinned, who's fault is all of this. And now we kind of begin to transition here where chapter 28 comes in, and it starts to kind of be this hinge moment in the book where there's kind of a pause. It feels like the narrator comes in, and in light of all this conversation around justice and God's justice and who did what and wrong, he kind of inserts this little chapter around wisdom, which is really, I think, unique, right? Like it feels like in the midst of that, why bring in wisdom here? And I think one of the things that came up from this, and I talked about it on Sunday, was this idea around like, we don't want to waste our suffering. Don't waste your suffering. And it just kind of made me think a lot of times in, you know, whether it's in life or in sports, or even you may have heard the phrase, right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And really, it's kind of behind that is this idea of that we're to be learning, right? We're to kind of learn from our situations, learn from our experience, to not take for granted things that are happening in your life. And, you know, I think back to some of the things in my life that were really hard and the learning moments that I had in that. And what I think we need in those moments when we're walking through hard times isn't more information, you know, isn't an explanation, but really what we need is wisdom. God, what would you have me do? How do I live your ways in your world? That really this idea that wisdom isn't just what we know, but it's who we know. And you see that in Job 28, where he kind of draws out this mining imagery, right? And I talked about this idea of like looking and searching for wisdom, that humans are capable of finding amazing things, right? They can uncover channels in the rocks. They can find precious metals and gold, but man cannot discover wisdom here on earth. That the only way they can find that is on earth. Job even says this in verse 12, right? But where shall wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? And then it ends with verse 23, but God understands the ways of it. He knows its place, for he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under heaven. God is up high, seeing all things. And then verse 28, and he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord. That is wisdom. That is wisdom. That wisdom comes not just from what you know, but who you know, knowing the Lord. And in the midst of our suffering, we need that comfort. We need that to help us to navigate it. And then from there, you kind of move into, we're introduced to this new character who's kind of been off on the side, right? We've heard of the three friends. And then there's this man, Elihu, who enters the picture here. And Elihu comes in as kind of another neutral third party in a way, right? He's not one of Job's friends. He's not in his inner circle. He's younger, but yet he has a perspective. He has something that he wants to share and something that he wants to say. And I talked about one of the things that I really admired out of Elihu is he's a bold young man, which I think is amazing, right? He's living with conviction. He's burning with anger because of what the friends have said, because of what Job has said. And he has this righteous indignation welling up inside of him. And I think of it, it's like it's somebody who has seen something in the world that has bothered them. And they can't help but feel this sense of, I want to do something about that. And I think what a great picture that is for young people. You know, I'm sitting here, I'm 37, 38, and I feel like I'm talking to young people now that I've kind of crossed this, you know, middle horizon here. I still kind of feel young, but anyways, it's this idea of how do we live with conviction? How do we see things in the world that man, it bothers us, you know, where we want to see, like for me, it's, and one of the things that bothers me is that there are people all around us walking around as if life is good, and yet they don't know Jesus. That they've gotten to this point where they're so comfortable in this life without God that they think, I don't need him. And there's a sense that they may live their life and they may die apart from knowing Jesus. And I feel like one of the things that God has put on my heart is I want to help more and more people experience the good news of the gospel, of having their lives transformed like mine was by understanding what Jesus has done for them. That if God can save someone like me, he can save someone like you. And that just wells up with inside of me that man, we are existing so that nobody would walk alone, so that we could help other people understand that life isn't found in this world. It is found in Jesus. And we've got a mission that if we have been rescued, we are invited and we are deployed on the rescue team to go and to tell that message to others. And that just excites me and fires me up every single day. What about you? What about you? How are you living with conviction in your life? What is burning within you? And how are you living that out? And if not, maybe this is a way for you to begin to search and say, Lord, what is it that bothers me? What righteous indignation wells up with inside of me? What problems, what wrongs do I see that, man, I want to speak about? I want to do something about. I want to enter into those kinds of things. And may we live with that kind of conviction in our lives. And then the last thing is Elihu kind of shares some things about God. And I think kind of helping us get ready for God's response. That's where we're going. That's where this book is culminating. And Job is waiting for God to answer. And we're kind of waiting for God to answer. And this kind of Elihu tees us up a little bit by helping us to see a little bit of some things that we can learn about God. And one of the things that I talked about that we can learn about God is he's a teacher. That God uses difficulty and discipline and suffering to teach us some things in this world. That sometimes suffering isn't a result of your sin. Sometimes suffering isn't because you have deserved it, because you have made some bad choices and this is kind of the result of that, right? That suffering isn't just a means that God uses to punish those who have done wrong. That is not the only reason suffering exists. That sometimes suffering happens because in that we live in a broken world. And yet in the midst of that suffering, God can teach us some things about us that we would not otherwise learn were we not leaning in. And then also we see that Elihu in chapter 34 shows us again, reminds us that God is just, that he does not do wrong. It is impossible for God to do wrong, he says, and for the Almighty to act unjustly. Indeed, it is true that God does not act wickedly and the Almighty does not pervert justice, that God always does what is right every single time. And so if there's ever something that we just don't quite understand why, we've got to maybe see that we don't see the full picture yet. And somehow in the midst of that, trusting that what God is doing, he's doing it for a reason and doing it on purpose. Because the last thing that Elihu tells us is that God is omnipotent. Omnipotent just means he's all powerful. That he is great in power, justice, and abundant righteousness he will not violate. Therefore, man fear him. He does not regard any who are wise in their own conceit, really in their own hearts. And that's what he says in chapter 37, that God is all powerful and in control. And that can give us hope, because when life feels out of control, we know that there is someone who is in control. And so all the things we can take from that as we begin to lean into what God is going to begin to say in these moments is, one, is not waste our suffering, that God is doing something in it. If we would just cling to him through that, we may see how we might grow and how he might accomplish something beautiful in it. So let me pray for you and me as we meditate on that. Father, thank you so much for allowing suffering to be a way, God, that can draw us closer to you. That God, it can teach us some things about ourselves and about you. That God, we are reminded that this world is broken and our home is not here on earth, but our home is with you in heaven. And so God, while we walk through these light and momentary afflictions, Lord, may our hearts be drawn to you. May you teach us. May you draw us closer to you, God. May you remind us, God, that the wisdom we need can't be found here on earth, but it is found with you. And so in the midst of that, Lord, may you and I continue to learn more about God, what you're doing in us, so that we would not waste our suffering. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you take a moment and pray?